This podcast discusses exchange-traded options issued by the Options Clearing Corporation. Options involve risk and are not suitable for all investors. Individuals should not enter into options transactions until they have read and understood the risk disclosure document, characteristics and risks of standardized options, available by calling 1-888-OPTIONS or by visiting www.888options.com. None of the information in this presentation should be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell a security or to provide investment advice.
Good news for investors. This week as the market closed at a 17-week high.
This is OIC's Covered Calls and Income Strategies podcast number one, a review of options basics.
Hi, welcome. My name is Steve Meisinger. I'm with the Options Industry Council, a nonprofit organization funded by the six option exchanges and the Options Clearing Corp. Our sole goal is to educate option investors in the use of options. I travel throughout the country teaching various strategies. Tonight we're going to go through covered calls, where we have an asset and we sell calls against it. So options are about the transfer of risk. So only you as the option investor can select the appropriate strategy based on your own goals and your own risk tolerances. So tonight we'll go through the covered calls. And we'll go through the advantages and disadvantages. And we'll look at different scenarios. And why would we sell options against an asset? What's the goal? Right. A little bit of protection, increase the rate of return in our account. So we're trying to increase the rates of return in our portfolio. Now, the disadvantage is that we're giving up some upside, or as if the stock was to move up, we may have a follow-up plan or a follow-up action. But so we're going to go through all of that. One thing that's extremely important is the option disclosure document. You can get that at 888options.com. It's also in your book, the characteristics and risks of standardized options. And what that does is it goes thoroughly through options at the most basic level into the more advanced topics, and it will answer any questions you may have. So I'd urge you to read that. Also, be aware that taxes, margin, and commission are not included in tonight's seminar. They're, of course, very important factors, but what I like to consider them moving targets. So it's very difficult for us to put those in because we all have different situations, whether it's taxes, margin, or commission. Review of the basics. Options are contracts, giving the owner the right to buy or sell a fixed price for a specific period of time, because options are about rights and obligations. But it's not a guarantee that you're going to actually sell the asset or buy the asset. In this case, you obligate the seller to take the opposite side if and when the option is exercised by the owner. If the asset that has economic value, if the stock rises above the strike price, more than likely that person that bought the option is going to exercise it. Your four basic positions. Well, we're looking at the quadrant where we're obligating our, in the call, obligation to sell. So this lower quadrant, we have an obligation to sell in this case. Is it a guarantee? No. If the asset drops dramatically, I may not sell it. In fact, I probably won't sell it via the options market. Important terminology. You have XYZ, December 80 call at 550. XYZ is the underlying. It's typically 100 shares of stock. It can be something different if you have a corporate action, but normally it's 100 shares of stock. Expiration, it's the Saturday following the Friday of the third Friday of the month. So you need to know that because that's when the options are going to expire. Strike price, the price at which the stock can be bought or sold. In our case, it's going to be sold if we're talking about covered calls, because we're taking the sell side. If you're buying an option, you could buy the stock at that strike price. The option type is just simply call or put. So call is the right to buy. Put is the right to sell an asset. These could be stocks. If we're talking about covered calls, these could be stocks or exchange-traded funds, anything where there's a deliverable. If we can't deliver indexes because they're cash settled, so their indexes are not appropriate for covered calls. The premium is determined where? Theoretically, it's determined by a lot of option pricing models. But in actuality, it's actually determined by the market in totality. So it's market professionals, all of us investors. What do we think? Are we buying or selling that strike price at a certain time? That's what creates that premium. So these premiums are changing all day long as the markets are open. It's the option price per share. Some more important terminology. We have exercise, buyers invoking their rights. As I said before, it's not a guarantee if you sell an option that you're going to sell the stock, but if the buyer chooses, the buyer controls this contract. They paid the premium. Call exercise. Call buyers can choose to buy the stock at the strike price from the call seller. When would they normally choose to do this? When there's an economic value to do so. So at expiration, normally, you're not going to normally exercise something till expiration. At that point, if they're in the money, if they have value, you could either sell the option or exercise it. Assignment is being called upon to fulfill your obligation. So only sellers can be assigned. Only buyers can exercise. Call assignment is call sellers are randomly chosen and are required to sell the stock at the strike price to the call buyer. So what does that randomness mean? Well, you trade through a broker. All of these trades are cleared at the Options Clearing Corp. So the Options Clearing Corp, if they get a notification that somebody wants to exercise, they do a random selection of a brokerage firm that's short that option, and that broker will select an account in their firm to deliver. That's how it works. Now, most times, it's sort of esoteric, right, because you say, well, all options are going to be exercised, but occasionally, somebody will exercise one that's just right on the strike price so that not everyone exercises. So there is a process. You can call the Options Clearing Corp, or you know, you can call the 888 Options Help Desk, and they'll actually inform you more about that. The covered call strategy involves the possibility of being assigned. Very important. As I said before, options are about risk and reward. So if you're getting a greater reward, if your rate of return is greater, well, you're taking a little more risk, because you're not going to share in the upside. So you always have to consider the risk and reward of trades. Assignment prior to expiration is possible. It happens in rare instances, but it does happen. Does anybody cite any instance where a call would be early exercised? This gentleman says X dividend. It's a great point. X dividend, I mean, all of a sudden, if a company has a very large dividend and it's very close to expiration, person that's long the call option will exercise because only the person that's long the stock before the X date will get the dividend. So that's normally one of the most likely situations for an early exercise in calls. And puts is when they get deep in the money. But today we're just talking about calls. So that's important to always look to see, well, what's the dividend? When's the dividend date? Intrinsic value and time value. Let me go through some examples so that you really understand how this all works before you actually implement the covered call strategy. We have a stock and it's trading at $56. We have the price of the 50 strike call and that's $8. The stock price is 56, the strike price is 50. So what is that worth? What's the intrinsic value of that option? $6. Does everybody see that? It's an important point. Good. Because if expiration was to occur immediately, that option would only be worth $6. Well, why is it trading at $8? The attendee says time. That's a great point. There's still time until expiration. The more time, the greater the premium. Or also, the more volatile the underlying, the more premium. So here, we know the intrinsic value is 6. We know that the premium that's trading on the marketplace, in this case given, is 8. That means the time value is 2. So I can add my intrinsic value plus my time value and get the total option premium. What happens at expiration? They either go to 0 or intrinsic value. Or if intrinsic value is 0, that's it. So it's intrinsic value or 0. Is volatility one of the determinants of time value? Yes. Because the more volatile the asset, the more premium that sellers are going to require to actually go into this transaction. And also, more premium that buyers are going to be willing to pay if they have an asset that moves so much. Because it's always about supply and demand. So the buyers are bidding higher if they think the asset could move up. So we're going to go through, I'm going to give you some examples of higher premiums, lower premiums. So here we have time value of $2, intrinsic value of $6, total option premium of $8. We have time value equals total premium minus intrinsic value, any way you want to look at it. For a 60 call, we looked at a 50 call. For a 60 call, if the premium was trading at $2.10 on the marketplace, in the marketplace, what would be the intrinsic value of that?
Zero.
Does everybody see zero? The answer, the audience says zero, which is correct. Why is it trading at 210? There's still a probability that this asset can move up in value. It could actually move much higher than 60. That's why it's the right to buy it at 60 is worth 210. If this asset does not move until expiration, what is that option worth?
Zero.
Is it intrinsic value or time value?
Time.
Has all time value. Has no intrinsic value. The time value is $2.10. When you're looking at doing covered calls, there are many different strike prices that you can select. You can do an in the money, an at the money, or an out of the money. So before we go to that, we need to know what that means. In the money means that that option has intrinsic value. It has some value if expiration was to occur immediately. Stock price is above the strike price. And at the money, the stock price and the strike price are roughly equal. Remember, what does that famous Black-Scholes model say about the likelihood of the asset moving up or down if the stock was right at the strike price? 50-50. So that's why they call it at the money, because it could move either way. Out of the money calls, the stock price is below the strike price. Which options are the most expensive in raw dollars? Which ones are the next most expensive? At the money. The out of the money are the lowest dollar amount. Doesn't mean they're the cheapest, though. They are the lowest dollar amount. But remember, options are about probability. If you're trading an out-of-the-money asset, you need the stock to move up 20%. Just because you can buy it at a certain price that looks cheap to you, 30 or 40 cents, doesn't mean that it's cheap, because you need this asset to move so much before it has any intrinsic value. So that's the difference. The in-the-money is going to act more like the stock immediately. The at-the-money is going to be sort of a hybrid. The out-of-the-money is not going to move that much with the stock at all, in most cases, until the stock moves up a bit.
Good news for investors. This week is the market closed at a 17-week high.
Ready to learn about covered calls? Then please download OIC's Covered Calls and Income Strategies podcast number 2, The Covered Call Strategy, a conceptual overview. Remember, if you don't understand something in these OIC podcasts or have an options-related question, just call 1-888-OPTIONS or visit 888options.com.